A lot of us probably have a medicine cabinet full of half-used prescriptions. You had a bad reaction, or you got better before you took every pill. So what do you do with those extra medications? Well, back in the 90s, a Seattle nurse started collecting extra pills from her HIV and AIDS patients. She sent them overseas, where AIDS treatments were hard to find. But the whole thing wasn't exactly legal. Jessica Partnow has the story about this unlikely drug trafficker.
Carol Glenn loves going to Pride Fest at Seattle Center.
I don't know. Why do I come to Pride? It's a great party. And it's a lot of loving families. And it's a lot of people that had to be in the shadows for years. And now they're out.
Carol is a nurse. She worked with HIV and AIDS patients in Seattle at the height of the AIDS crisis.
I get to reconnect with the community I've lost. When I was an HIV nurse and I worked at Harborview, I was a real part of the community.
She's not kidding. This is almost like a family reunion.
That's, what's his name? Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh my God, it's both of you! Hi! Oh my God!
It's about time, said I. How are you, sweetheart?
David and Michael are former patients of Carol's.
I've known Michael since he was 16.
Yeah, 16 years old.
How old are you now?
35.
No, you're not.
But it's not all reunions and hugs today.
I've smiled at a few people and they recognize me and they look away. It's kind of like being in a big AA group.
Today, HIV is a survivable disease. But of course, 30 years ago, it wasn't. NBC's Tom Brokaw had one of the first reports.
Scientists at the National Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta today released the results of a study which shows that the lifestyle of some male homosexuals has triggered an epidemic of a rare form of cancer.
Researchers know of 413 people who have contracted the condition in the past year. One-third have died and none have been cured.
Carol remembers when the AIDS crisis first started.
We began to have people literally walking in the clinic and dropping dead. Or people with these really strange growths on their face or horrible pneumonias, and nobody knew what they were.
Joe Martin was a social worker at Carol's clinic when the AIDS crisis hit. I met him after work one day at his favorite bar, Kell's Irish Pub. He says he knew right away that Carol was special.
Carol very quickly demonstrated that she was a crackerjack nurse, the kind of nurse anyone who was sick would want to have at their side.
He says she was fun to be around. She had a great sense of humor, but also that you didn't want to mess with her.
She was a tough woman who wasn't somebody you're going to just push around, you know.
She was just the kind of nurse her patients needed. Early treatments were hard on the body and difficult to take. In 1987, AZT became the first drug approved to treat HIV/AIDS.
And AZT at that point was every 4 hours around the clock, and people would set their watches and their timers to every 4 hours around the clock.
But those early treatments couldn't help everyone.
And people were dying left and right at that point. And their friends or family would come with a box of stuff and say, I don't want to throw this away. What'll I do with it? And I said, well, I don't know. I don't think we should throw it away either.
A lot of what people were bringing in was leftover medication. One day she got an idea. She saw a young medical student in the clinic. He was packing for a visit back home to Peru.
And he had his suitcase on a weight scale. And he was taking out his clothes and putting in Bactrim and fluconazole and aspirin, things like that.
All those drugs were expensive or hard to find in Peru. So every time he visited, he flew home with a suitcase full of medicines. As she watched him, Carol wondered if her patient's extra medications could help.
I saw her only as a nurse, always trying to help people, always caring for people, with a smile all the time.
This is Dr. Jorge Sanchez, who was that young medical student. He's now an HIV researcher in Lima. Back in the 1990s, when he was studying at the University of Washington, he became one of the first people to bring Carol's extra AIDS drugs to patients in other countries.
Can you imagine how long her health made a difference in this country?
It was called bringing Carol her lunch. And patients would put their drugs in a little paper bag and put my name on it and take it to the front desk and say, I brought Carol her lunch.
word spread fast. It became an open secret.
Everybody knew, but they didn't know. They could always say they didn't know, and that was really important.
It was important because technically it was illegal. Soon, Carol was sending drugs all over the world, especially to Eastern Africa.
Ethiopia, Kenya, Rwanda, Sudan, Eritrea.
AIDS was still a death sentence for many of the people she helped. She says the power of what she was doing was in extending people's lives.
So you can give somebody 3 months' worth of meds, and they might have an extended life of 5 or 6 more months.
Often it was just long enough for a person to get their affairs in order.
Like the woman in Somalia who could find a place for her kids.
Carol's drug trafficking ring went on for years. It even continued after AIDS drugs became widely available in the developing world. Carol knew she was breaking the rules. The state has strict guidelines on dispensing medication. Paula Meyer is the executive director of the Nursing Care Quality Assurance Commission in Washington State.
There wasn't orders for these medications to go to these people.
And that, she says, was the problem.
The standard for nursing is there has to be a medical regimen or an order from a prescriber for a nurse to administer medications. And those were absent in these cases.
Carol says she never prescribed medications, that she only redistributed drugs to medical professionals or to patients who had a prescription. She believes she was following the spirit of the law, if not the letter. Over the years, Carol's drug recycling got more and more open and less secret. By 2009, Harborview knew about it. Her supervisor told her to stop. So she changed her tactics slightly, tried to do more of her recycling off-site, thinking she was safe if she kept off of hospital property. But then she got outed in a major way.
It's a packed room of over 500 people.
Carol's describing a speech one of the doctors she worked with gave for World AIDS Day in late 2009. He's talking about his work with AIDS patients in Kenya.
So he's standing there and he goes, and this is a picture of Grace and her daughter so-and-so. And sitting in front of her are the medications that she's going to take, provided by our very own Carol Glenn.
Her secret was blown wide open.
And I shrank about 8 inches into my seat. And I thought, oh my God, you know, it's illegal what we're doing. And you just announced it to 700 people. I can't believe you did that.
Right away, Carol was worried that she'd lose her job. And 1 year after the speech, in December 2010, she did. It ended her 40-year nursing career. But what it didn't end is the practice of drug recycling in Seattle. More on that to come. For KOW, I'm Jessica Partnow.